And we'll begin in verse 1 after we make this confession together. Ready? So if you have your Bible, would you join us? The words are on the screen. And let's just say it together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. I'll read down through verse 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The message I'd like to center on this morning for the time we have is just simply these words from this scripture: walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. Thank God for new life that he gives to us. Thank God that we can walk in what he provided for us, and he wants us, he calls us to follow him and to walk in newness of life. And I want to make this very practical of how we can live this out. But I want to go back and just reread beginning in verse 1 again of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 said, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? God forgives us of our sins by his grace, but he also frees us from sin by his grace. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is divine favor and divine empowerment to live in obedience to God. Now, thank God, when we sin, he offers us mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. That's the favor. It's divine empowerment. So he forgives our sin, but he also frees us from our sin. When God's Spirit, let me read verse 3. He says this, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is how it helps me to picture it. When the Bible talks about us being crucified with Christ, being buried with Christ, being raised with Christ, how can that even possibly be? I know some days you might feel like you're a little bit old, but you're not that old. Not 2,000 years old. So what does that mean? It means that when God's Spirit convicts us of our sin and draws us to put our faith in Jesus alone, he's not one among others, Jesus alone as the sinless, crucified, and risen Lord of glory. It doesn't matter if we're 5 or 105, then the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, actually baptizes us or places us in the body of Christ. So I look at it like this. See, when we come to Jesus and we believe in him as Lord, God's Spirit immerses us. He unites us with Christ so that when God sees us, he sees his Son. So it looks like, in a sense, God gives us credit for everything his Son did on our behalf. So when Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins, it was like we were on the cross with him. When Jesus was buried, it was like we were buried. When Jesus came back to life, We are called to walk in newness of life. In fact, Ephesians even goes further and says we've been raised together and seated with him in the heavenly places, far above all the demonic powers and principalities of this earth and this life. That's where we are in Christ, and God wants us to live up to our potential right here in this life on this earth. So that's how we have a basis to walk then in newness of life. And baptism pictures our identification and our union with Jesus. Baptism pictures our identification and our union with Jesus. And when he says walk in newness of life, it's more than, let me ask you this. All right, I'm going to do something for those of you who can see me. I'm just going to take a step. Is that walking or is that just a step? See, so to walk then is, walking is a way of life. Some translations actually say it that way, to not just walk this way, but to live this way. Walk in newness of life. To walk in newness of life is to walk in fellowship with Jesus. It's being in one accord with God as our Father because we're indwelt by his Holy Spirit. And since Jesus won the victory for us on the cross, we can actually consider ourselves dead to sin and consider ourselves alive to God. Would you look at this in verse 5, Romans 6, 5. It says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, when you see that phrase, you might, if you think about our old life or our old sin, that's what it refers to, all right? It's our old man, our old life, the old way of sin, however long we may have lived in that, it says that it was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We can, by the power of God's Spirit, consider ourselves dead to sin. How many of you have ever seen a business that has been closed? You've seen a business move out of a place and the building is still there. It might be, you know, boarded up, so it might just be dark. Well, in a sense, that's what we can picture our old sinful ways like that. The old Rockies to be out of business, and I shouldn't reopen it. And I should consider that a new business has come, and I'm with God and company, God and Son. And so we're followers of Jesus. That's what it is to walk in newness of life, and that's how we can have victory. And then verse 11 says this of Romans chapter 6, likewise, you also reckon or consider, see yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this morning, I just like to, again, make this very practical. How do we live it out? What does it look like to walk in newness of life? And there are three ways that I believe the Scripture tells us. And I want to ask you to join me in Ephesians chapter 5, if you would turn there, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll just give you these three. And you don't have to speed right. I'm just going to let you know what they are right now, and we'll get the verses. But it's to walk in newness of life, as the Scripture tells us, is to walk in faith, to walk in love, and to walk in light. Faith, love, and light. Faith, love, and light. And so we'll look at these in just a moment. Walk in newness of life. The first one, faith. We just put the verse on the screen. We'll look at the ones in Ephesians in just a moment. This one is found in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's a verse that many of you are familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 7 says, in fact, would you read this with me? Would you say it with me? For we walk by faith, not by sight. So we walk by faith, not by sight. As followers of Jesus, we live by faith in God, and we live by faith in his word. That means we rely on. Faith or believe or trust is to rely on. We put our confidence in. We trust him. We rely on God, and we rely on his word, and that's how we live. We're called to live by God and his inspired word, not to be controlled by or live by our limited perspective. We can't see it all, can we? We can't see 5 seconds into the future. God sees everything start to finish. We're not to rely, thank God, he gives us a sound mind and we're to use it. But we're not to rely on our limited human comprehension. We don't know everything. So we trust God and we walk by faith. That's the idea. And then, Lord knows, we don't want to just live by our constantly changing emotions. Some of us could testify of times we've made choices that were not by God's inspired word. And we probably learned, I hope, from that. We live and learn. And so we walk in newness of life is to walk in faith, to walk in love and light. And we put our trust in the Lord. It's like someone, I picture it like a pilot flying at night. And regardless of what they may think or sense or feel, if they try to fly that plane by their sight or their feelings, it could be very dangerous. They need to trust their instrument panel. Brothers and sisters, we have a spiritual instrument panel. And if we know him, his Holy Spirit is in us to guide us into all truth. You remember, was it John Kennedy III? Am I correct? They think he actually experienced something like that and was flying in the dark and ended up sadly taking his plane straight into the ground because he, again, just either didn't have the instruments. I'm not sure of the details. I'm not trying to be critical of him. It's sad. But I'm just saying that's how we want to be wise spiritually and trust that God knows better and trust that God sees more and trust in God's love. So it's feeding our faith in God, feeding our faith in his word and believe in God, believe in his love for us and believe in his power. So that's how we walk in faith. We were supposed to have a baptism today. And so I came in Thursday. A few years ago, I started changing up and getting the baptistry ready on a Friday instead of a Saturday. I'm not sure initially why, if it was schedule or what, because I used to get ready. It takes about 24 hours for this baptistry to heat. So I would start it on a Saturday morning, and then we come in Sunday, and it feels like a sauna. I cut it off, we're good. And I started doing that, and so I came in on Thursday, actually, this week, cleaned the rooms out on the side, just kind of straightened up, so forth, and then came in Friday, got the water going, did some little work. And it has to get up to a certain level before I can turn the pump and the heater on so I don't burn it out. So anyway, we got it up to the level and started going. And I don't know other than the Lord of why I even just hung around to keep checking it. So it's a all kind of spacious area up under there. I thank God, as much as I wanted to be taller when I was in school, my little 5'8 self can fit up under that thing, and God only knows how many times I went up under there on Friday, and I tried, and because I was, you know, baptism is an exciting time. We had six who wanted to be baptized, and I was excited for them and their families, and it's an exciting time for the church family. And so I went up under there. I was like, I want to check this. I climbed up under there. I saw the light working on the thing. It looked like the thermostat was all the way near where it should be because one time it was all the way to cold. I ran it all night and it didn't get hot at all. So I checked it, did everything, and felt the motor. Felt like it was, you know, warming up. But I felt the pipe above it, and it was still just ice cold. And again, up and down, up and down, up and down. I was able to get someone in Friday late afternoon. He checked the wiring. He had 240 going up to the heater element in it. You know, he took it apart, but it wasn't heating. So I had end up calling everyone and to let them know we had to postpone the baptism. And it was disappointing for me. I mean, I'm human. I have emotions, and I did everything I knew to do. And I just finally came to the place. I said, Lord, if this was in my hands, I would control it, and we'd have it in that fix. But it's not, and I'm just going to trust that when you open that door, it'll be your right time, and you have a greater purpose, and you're going to get greater glory for it. Walk in newness of life. Walk in faith. Walk in love. Walk in light. Would you look at this in Ephesians? And before I read that scripture in Ephesians 5, would you just maybe write this one down, Ephesians 4:17? The Bible says this, Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk or live as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And notice, the Gentiles there refers to unsaved people, okay? So do not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So the Bible teaches that whatever we dwell on and whatever we fill our minds with, that's the direction we're going to walk in. So the Bible says to walk in the Spirit is to be spiritually minded. We have to set our mind on spiritual things. And it says if we set our mind on spiritual things, it's life and peace. So if I'm not experiencing the peace of God, and I know we're all going to have our little times where we're troubled about legitimate issues. I understand, and we're concerned, and we pray, and we love, but not to just be given over to fear and anxiety and worry, but to fill our minds as we dwell on the Lord and on His goodness, then He gives us grace and peace to help us through those times. And maybe we could even examine our own heart and lives and say, where is my peace right now? Is that an indicator of what I'm dwelling on? And do I need to maybe change my focus here? The Bible says this, walk in faith, walk in love, walk in light. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says this, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. It takes faith to receive God's love for us. That's why I believe it's faith first. It's faith. We receive God's love. We receive His mercy and forgiveness. Then, because His love is in our heart, He calls us to love Him back with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He calls us to love others as we love ourselves. Faith and love keep us in close fellowship with the Lord and help us grow more like Him. Again, that's really what this is about. Christian life is fellowship with God as our Father through faith in Jesus the Son being indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. That's really what it comes down to. To walk in newness of life is to walk in fellowship with God. Walk in fellowship with Him, you know, wherever I am, at home, on the job, in the class, out in public, or whatever I'm doing, it's that fellowship with God as our Father. The Bible teaches that Jesus is our example throughout the New Testament. He's our example in pure and self-giving love. Jesus is our example in loving people who don't love us. Jesus is our example in forgiving. Anyone thank God this morning for new beginnings? That's how I've come to appreciate this, is not just, you know, walk in newness of life is, again, not just that step when I became a Christian. It's walking in newness of life. Lord knows I need a new beginning every day. And the Bible tells us His mercies are brand new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Thank God for His compassionate heart. So Jesus, thank God He loves us unconditionally. That He loved us, the Bible says, when we were still sinners and separate from Him, Christ died for us. Thank God for His love that's powerful. It's changing. It inspires us. Thank God for His love is practical. He provided what we need to walk in newness of life, and it's fellowship with Him. That's what it is. We walk in fellowship with Him, and that's what it is to walk in newness of life. Please think about this a moment. What would you say you've been dwelling on primarily recently, even over the last few days? Doesn't mean that you don't think about it. I'm just saying what we choose to dwell on. And maybe some of us, maybe we need to just switch up and say, Lord, help me to focus on You. Help me to count my blessings. Help me to focus on all Your goodness and your undeserved grace and love and mercy to me, and help me, Lord, to be grateful, and then help me to experience your peace, because even though I acknowledge these things, I'm thankful that you care so much for me that I can cast all of my anxieties and care on you and trust you that you can handle it far better than me, and I'll trust you and your timing. I'll keep praying, and I'll just keep receiving your grace and peace. Walk in newness of life. Would you say that with me? Walk in newness of life. Would you smile at someone next to you and tell them, walk in newness of life? And then finally, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. So to walk in newness of life, walk in faith, love, and light. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness. Notice that. It's not just you were in darkness. You were. That was our spiritual state apart from Christ. But now that you've received Jesus as Lord, now that you are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, but now you are light in the Lord, so live it out. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's important. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Jesus is light, and Jesus is truth. Isn't that what he said? I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's word is light, right? Jesus said, God's word is truth. So they're both. So to walk in the light is to walk in fellowship with the Lord by obedience to his word, the truth that he has given to us. So we walk in fellowship with him by prayer. Y'all know how, right? We walk in fellowship by worship. We walk in fellowship by receiving his word. We walk in fellowship, just like right now, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We walk in fellowship as we share our faith with others because we love them and we love God and we want to see them come to know him as well. And it's also how we grow. On the front of the bulletin there, it talks about our purpose and our priorities. Our priorities are just those Christian disciplines and practices that do not make us Christian. We do them because we are Christian, but they do help us stay close to God as our Father and to grow in Christ's likeness. And that's what God's heart is for us all, isn't it? That we become more like his Son. That's his original. He created us in his image and likeness. And when we come to Jesus, he does that work in us again spiritually until the day it's complete when we meet him face to face. Walk in newness of life. This is something, I'll close with this, an example in Genesis. In fact, if you want to just turn back there with me, Genesis chapter 32, because I see an example in the life of Jacob of walking in newness of life and having that encounter with God that does something transforming in us. Genesis chapter 32. This I want from not only myself, I want it for everyone here, I want it for everyone watching, is that not only we would come to know God, but that we would enjoy a close fellowship with God. To find joy in knowing him and being at peace with him. I can tell you as a Christian that when we allow something in our heart and lives that we know is not like Christ, we don't have the fullness of joy, do we? We don't have that fullness of peace. And we're not enjoying him like he wants. And if we could just trust him and surrender it to him, and yield ourselves to him. That's the way to walk in what he's provided for us. In Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24, we read this account. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man, and the New King James has a capital M, because that the one who wrestled with him was really the Lord. So a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Let me pause there a second. Jacob was on his way back home, and he was going to see his brother, whom he hadn't seen in 20 years. And the last time he saw his brother threatened he was going to kill him. His brother Esau thought, you know, they thought their dad was going to die soon. He said, when dad dies, I'm going to kill him. So Jacob left. He thought it was going to be for a few days. It turned out to be 20 years. Now he's going back and he's scared. And he's left alone. See, God does an individual work in us so that it has a corporate effect. We have our own individual walk, and a man wrestled with him. The Lord wrestled with him all night. in that dark season. You know, God may wrestle with us when we're alone and we're quiet. And he may wrestle with us in a night season. And he may wrestle with us because he's dealing with something in our hearts and in our lives. Here, for Jacob, he wrestled all night, and the Bible says this in verse 25. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched, or some translations say he struck, the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was knocked out of joint as he wrestled with him. You got to give Jacob one thing. He had tenacity. He's wrestling all night long, and when the Lord said, he's hanging in here with me. I'm allowing him to do that. Y'all know he was letting it, right? And he struck him in the hip where he lost that strength of your drive that comes from your hip, and he just held on for dear life. And the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And the Lord asked him a question, very interesting question. He says this in verse 27. So he said to Jacob, what is your name? Why would he ask him about his name? Lord, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Tell me your name. Because he earned the name as an infant because he grabbed his twin brother's heel coming out of the womb. And they called him heel catcher or supplanter. It means one who usurps. He was one who developed a reputation of, I'm going to try to use whatever I can, manipulation, control, trickery, deception, even if I have to wear my brother's clothes and go to my blind father to get his blessing and lie to him and say I'm Esau. I'm going to do what I need to do to get my advantage. And so he earned that name of usurper. And so the Lord brought him to that place of, you want my blessing? God wants to bless us, but he wants to bless us for his purpose and glory, not just to bless us so we feel like we're blessed. Walk in newness of life. So he said, I confess, Jacob, I admit it. I'm coming clean with you. And then notice what the Lord did, verse 28. And he said, your name shall no longer be called supplanter, usurper, heel catcher, but Israel, a prince with God. God changed Jacob's name from Jacob to a prince with God, and that new name represented a new nature. It was a new nature. It was a transformation. God did something in Jacob at this time that affected, because here's what happened. Since he touched him in his hip, when the day came up, Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. It wasn't just that one occasion. And when he saw his brother bowing down to him and coming to him like this, even though he threatened to kill him 20 years earlier, he ran to him, hugged him, and they cried together, and he welcomed him back, Esau. But see, that's a picture of how we can have an encounter with God that will help us not just take a step, but to walk different from that moment on. It's walking in newness of life. It's walking in that fellowship with the Lord. And I'm not just bless me, bless me, bless me. Bless me and help me to grow more like Christ so you can use me more effectively. That's what it is to walk in newness of life. I'll close with this. Just please think about it. Is God wrestling with you about, first of all, giving yourself to Jesus and confessing him as Lord? Is God wrestling with you even now about an area in your heart or life that you know is not like Christ? And I just want to ask you, will you just surrender it to the Lord? In fact, let me say it this way. Will you yield yourself to the Lord and just trust him and then receive his full forgiveness, receive his full blessing, receive his full joy and his peace? That's what he wants for every one of us. He's not out to hurt us. He's out to help us to grow more like him. Walk in newness of life. Keep walking in newness of life. Can we stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer? Walk in newness of life. Would you take a moment right now just with, in the quietness of your own heart, between you and God? Would you allow him to just search you and to say, Lord, is there an area, or maybe I know it is, you've been wrestling with me about this. Right now, I know you love me, and I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to give myself to you, Lord, and say, come have your way. I don't want to be the manipulator, deceiver, controller, or anything else. I just trust you. Would you just make that right with God as your Heavenly Father right now? If there's anyone who would say, I just want to give myself to Jesus. I need forgiveness. I need a new start. Would you do that right now? Would you say, God, I know I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. I believe you love me and sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe he's alive right now. And Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Help me follow you. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. So I pray right now for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know, help us all to know we can trust you. May you give us grace in our areas of weakness. Help us. Transform us from the old ways into the new ways. For your glory and honor, we pray. Would you say, Lord, I receive your love, your mercy, your forgiveness. Right now, I yield myself to you completely. Help me grow more like Christ for your glory. In Jesus' name.